Blog Talk Radio.
Sports talk with the guys. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday morning quarterbacks on Saturday. Good morning, everyone. What a glorious morning it is indeed. February 22nd, 2020, bunch of twos and a bunch of zeros in the date. Wow, I'm not able to get it out right now. And yes, there you go. There's another line that you can use it on a meme. You have my whatever necessary. I'm the scorekeeper, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sports Talk with the Guys. Big Dog is on assignment. Sure. He may be calling in if he's awake. He's traveling. I believe he's back from New York, but we shall see. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Right now, I'm in my office, and I've been here for about 20 minutes, and like a super pendejo, I didn't prepare my coffee. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the door, scare all my little kitties, my coffee, and I jumped it, close the studio door, throw in my little wooden stick. We don't use a plastic one. Because we're trying to be eco-minded. Ooh, I don't know if my little Keurig is going to heat up this morning. It shows red. Let me see. Going to get some more water in there. But it says something about descale. I looked it up. Apparently, my machine has to be cleaned every 2 months. And me not likey. That's going to be a hassle to do that. You know, it should be my staff here to do this. But they're not here right now. I'm going to put more water in the machine. Hopefully it heats up. And if it does, I've got me a hot cup Joe on its way. Woo-hoo! So when the staff gets here at about 9 or 10 this afternoon, or this morning, I will be able to demand that they prepare or clean my machine. Woo-hoo! Yes, that was a completely business-related commentary. And I have so many of these K-cups. All right. There it goes. Hopefully it begins to heat up. Yeah, I think it's starting up. Okay. Well, thank God it's not in the 30s or the 40s that we've been used to here for some time. Oh, by the way, I want to welcome everyone who's listening live in the archive. Thank you. As we look at the numbers, wow. Of course, you can find us at ndbmedia.net and find us on Facebook as well. Look up Sports Talk with the Guys, as well as NDB Media on Facebook. You can find us there. But let's go to Blog Talk Radio. I think Poland has surpassed, much to my surprise, Poland has surpassed Canada. Is that true? Let me see. Here's a share of our audience. United States, 91.31. United Kingdom, 1.13. Spain, 0.92. Oh, it's a fight between Canada and Poland. I swear to you, yesterday, Poland was in fourth. And now Canada is back in fourth. Want to thank you, everyone. Wow. And Poland is back in fifth. Ay, it's a glorious morning indeed. Let's see if we can do something here for our Poland friends. I'm moving over to my phone. Of course, I should have had this set up. But, you know, when it comes to setting up things, what do we know here at NDB Media? has my Microsoft? Oh, there it is. Translator. Okay. Yes, I agree. What am I going to move it to? Sure, I'm going to allow it to record. But I want to go from English to Polish. There we are. And I had some clients in yesterday. One was Polish. The other was from the Rodina. And I surprised him with that. He worked at SpaceX. Wow, with Elon Musk, which is really kind of cool. But anyway, let's see if I can make this happen. Good morning to our friends in Poland. Okay. Well, maybe now.
Okay.
Oh, stupid. Good morning to our friends in Poland. Oh. Hey, it worked. Welcome to one and all from Warsaw to Wrocław to Gdańsk, everyone in Poland. We are thrilled that you're listening to Sports Talk with the Guys.
Witamy w jednym i wszystkim z warszawskich drzwi, jak miłość do Gdańska. Wszyscy w Polsce cieszymy się, że słuchacie sportowej rozmowy z chłopakami.
That's kind of cool. I love it. I love the little translator. It generally works. Don't use complex sentences like that, but it's a really neat option. It is the Microsoft option of Translator. I've used it at my regular place of employment, and it is really cool. I don't have to translate in Spanish, but in Klingon, Nukner, and of course in Spanish, Buenos dias de Córdoba, Madrid, en todos los otros lugares de España. Bienvenido a Sports Talk with the Guys. Wow, did I even use an accent when I said that one? Hijo de su madre. Anyway, it's all good. What a glorious day. It's only 55 degrees early in the morning. It feels like 55, allegedly, to a high of 59. Ugh. Going to be a low of 50, so we're in a zone, a 10-degree zone. The wind is out of the east, 2 miles per hour. Humidity, 77%. The dew point is 48. Pressure is 30.02 inches, and we have a 10-mile sky. What a glorious scene. And in Southern California here at the NDB Media World Headquarters, we're going to have showers today, high of 59 degrees, and we have 60% chance of rain tonight. Going to get to a low of 50, and we're going to have rain. Sunday, high 64. Sunday night, low 48. And Monday, warming up at 75. So we're just going to suffer for the weekend. Wow, I see rain to the east of us in San Bernardino, up in kind of like Big Bear and stuff. So, wow, not too bad, Simi, not too bad. I'm really happy about being here today, ladies and gentlemen. It is a glorious day. And this is the joke of the day. The boating store was having a big sale on canoes. It was quite the ordeal. Yeah, good God, that was painful. My Lord, it was. Today in sports history, on February 22nd, in 1860, organized baseball... first game was played in San Francisco, California. In 1962, Wilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia Warriors attempted 34 free throws in a game against St. Louis. In 1969, Barbara Jo Rubin became the first woman to win a U.S. thoroughbred horse race. In 1980, the U.S. beat the USSR, or the CCCP, 4-3 in Olympic hockey en route to a gold medal. That was the miracle on ice. It has to be the miracle on ice today in February of all days. In 1985, George something or other Gervin, Marvin Gervin, I forget his name. He had a nickname. George Gervin, the San Antonio Spurs, scores his 25,000th career point. In 1992, Don Nelson of Golden State won his 700th game as a coach. In 1993, Glenn Anderson of the Toronto Maple Leafs became the 36th NHL player to score 1,000 points. In 1995, the NFL and CBS Radio agreed to a new 4-year contract for an annual 53-game package of games. Wow, that's neat. That's what happened in history today on the 22nd. Now, before we get into any other things, I'm going to move my lazy butt over here Ah, yes. The Keurig is flashing me. Engage. I need a cup of gel. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Oh, my God. A liquid gold. A liquid crap
is being heated.
Well, it should have been heated already.
I think it's working its way through the system. Come on, baby. Dispense, baby. Hurry up. There it is. Engage.
Do it.
There it goes.
Dispense, baby. Oh, yes. 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 Oh, my God. Yes. There it is.
Oh, I guess it's not done yet. What a shock. Didn't get it right.
Where the hell are all my Star Wars Republic Commando thingies going? They are, my God, they're disappearing. I guess my client's a lot more than what I have now.
Oh, okay. There it is. The liquid gold was served. Oh, glory to God in all the highest. And peace to his people on earth. I know I didn't say that right. Ah, oh, now I'm squeezing the juice. Well, I'm not squeezing the juice, but I am dispensing the Coffee Mate flavors of hazelnut, sweetened original, and French vanilla. And I'm reaching for a wooden stirrer, not a plastic one.
Can't have any of that here in NDB Media World Headquarters. We are conscious of what we are doing to Mother Earth. Yes, we are. So that's why we're limiting our writing. That's why we're limiting our everything when it comes to consumables. And we're just using coal power. So here's our newest one that our clients brought us over. Let's see, what's the button for today? That's right. More Stuck with the Guys. Home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. You know it takes us a while to get going. Oh, good Lord. The liquid crack is here. It is ready. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Oh, it is percolating through my veins. So, that'll get us going real quick. All right. A quick little view at rugby. Of course, the ICC Women's Top Women's T20 World Cup Australia 2020 is in 14 days, 16 hours, and 46 minutes, and how many seconds? Wow. That's for the final on March 8th. The ICC Women's T20 World Cup 2020 Match 2. West Indies women win by 7 wickets. In Match 3, New Zealand women win by 7 over the Sri Lanka women. I apologize. In Match 2, the West Indies women won by 7 wickets over the Thailandese women. New Zealand by 7 over the Sri Lankan women. Stumps, England 3-275. The Australia A men versus the England Lions in the England Lions Tour of Australia. And New Zealand versus India test, men's first test. Stumps, New Zealand lead by 51 runs over the India men. Congratulations to them. That's a look down under. In rugby league, round 1, full time. The Indigenous 16, Maori 30. Wow. From the land down under. The PGA, ladies and gentlemen, the World Golf Championships in Mexico. February 20-23, 2020, Mexico City, Mexico. It's been updated as of 7 minutes ago. Bryson DeChambeau is minus 11, 131 strokes. Eric Van Rooyen is tied for second at 132, minus 10. Patrick Reed, minus 10 at 132. Hideki Matsuyama is tied for fourth, minus 9, 133 strokes. And Justin Thomas, also tied for fourth, minus 9, 133 strokes. For those of you that are paying attention, in round 1, Bryson shot a 68 and then a 63. Eric Van Rooyen, a 70 and a 62, respectively. Patrick Reed, a 69 and a 63. Wow, these guys really sucked in the first round. Hideki, 69, 64. And Justin Thomas, 67, 66. Everyone, which is really kind of cool. Golf starts with you, a coach that gets you. PGA of America. Wow. A quick look at MSL.
Of course. Yeah, we've got let's see. 7 days before the MLS returns, 25th year. Going to be really exciting. There are 10 games remaining. Let's take a look at the preseason schedule for the MLS. Friday, February 21, FC Cincinnati. I apologize. That's where the scores from yesterday. So just a few more games up. Saturday, February 22nd, FC Dallas versus Inter Miami at 10 a.m. ET. It's a closed-door scrimmage. Sure. Also, Colorado Rapids versus Toronto FC at 3 p.m. Eastern time. This one's going to be at Carson, California. That's right around the corner. New York Red Bulls versus Sporting KC. Minnesota United FC versus Vancouver Whitecaps FC. LA Galaxy versus Chicago Fire. Columbus Crew FC versus Houston Dynamo. DC United versus Philadelphia Union. Inter Miami CF versus the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Portland Timbers versus New England Revolution, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Real Salt Lake versus Phoenix Rising FC at 9 p.m. ET at the Casino Arizona Field in Scottsdale, Arizona. Wow. So, really excited. 7 days, 3 hours, 43 minutes, and about 5 seconds more. So, the MLS returns. Let me see. Do we have the opening day schedule? Yeah, I know we do, but we'll be talking about it later. We're going to skip on over. We do have lots of news. As I mentioned, the Big Dog is on assignments, so we are really happy that the Big Dog has had some time off. He went over to New York. I was hoping he would meet a mutual friend. I don't know if he did, but we'll get to him shortly. Actually, he might call in. Who knows? But he might still be on New York time. That means he's wide awake. But he's in Arizona today. So, that's neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen, Major League Baseball, they're really dragging this out. Rob Manfred, you gotta go, dude. You gotta go. Let's start it up again. Scorekeeper for commissioner. Scorekeeper for Major League Baseball commissioner. Let's have it happen. That's just the way it is. That's the way it should have been the first time. The guy knows how to negotiate union contracts. That's it. Referring to the World Series trophy as a piece of metal, dude, that's it. Just get out of here. That's what you do. USA Today did an article from Scottsdale, Arizona, and under blistering criticism from players unhappy with his handling of the Astros electronic sign-stealing scandal, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred offered a qualified mea culpa Tuesday, but also pointed at the players' own union as sharing the blame. Some players, most vociferously the Dodgers' Justin Turner, have expressed outrage over Manfred referring to the World Series championship trophy as a, quote, piece of metal, unquote, as he made the media around Sunday. Manfred was trying to explain Major League Baseball's approach to the misdeeds perpetrated by the Astros, who are found to have used a video-based scheme in 2017, the year they won the championship and part of 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment of Manfred saying, the Mariano Riveras of the world. He had nothing to say. He was referring to the trophy as a piece of metal. So when you have nothing to say is when you just should just shut up. I have something to say. And this guy has got to go. Unprompted, the game's top executive acknowledged his blunder when he addressed members of the media covering spring training in Arizona. In an effort to make a rhetorical point, I referred to the World Trophy in a disrespectful way, and I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. Dude, you effed up. Still trying to cover up in your excuse. A more effective way? That's like getting caught and saying, oh, I'm sorry I got caught. Dude, you blew it. You don't even respect the game. How does someone who holds the highest position blunder by referring to the World Series trophy as a piece of metal? He was making a rhetorical point. Rhetorical? How can it be rhetorical if it's what is happening now? Manfred, you've got to go. You are great as a woolly mammoth. Other than that, you got to go. I know Ray Romano is just rolling on the floor right now in agony. Apparently, he was quite effective in conveying the message that the Major League Baseball Players Association hamstrung any efforts to penalize Astro players who participated in the electronic stratagem. While Houston was fined $5 million and lost its first two draft picks in each of the next 2 years, as well as general manager Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch, who were suspended and subsequently fired, its players were not suspended. Pete Rose, and of all people I'm going to refer to, which I am, was that rhetorical? No, yeah, I'm doing it now. It's for me to refer to Pete Rose in anything is a paradigm shift here in NDB Media. So, be that as it may, Pete Rose was on a radio program on ESPN the other day, and he did say, hey, notice how a general manager and three managers have been fired, and yet not one player has been fired, and they were the ones doing the cheating? I love his point. The level of anger expressed by their peers on other clubs even surprised Manfred, an MLB executive for more than 20 years, who said the union declined to grant cooperation from the players unless they received blanket immunity. Manfred said his office initially offered immunity only for some, but MLBPA would not budge. And there it is. It should have declared that. But whatever. One of the principal complaints seems to be that the Houston players were not disciplined, Manfred said, and the lack of discipline and immunity was negotiated with the union that represents the players. Well, you rolled over, Manfred. Union head Tony Clark had a different take on the punishment issue, saying Major League Baseball never expressed any intention to discipline the players and didn't have the right to do so anyway because the players had not been notified of the rules and because of previous instances of electronic sign stealing, the league had said it was up to the teams to ensure compliance. That could be proven through the process. So there's a little obfuscation by Tony Clark. You don't reveal your defense because next time around, you're going to get nailed for it. Any suggestion that the association failed to cooperate with the commissioner's investigation, obstructed the investigation, or otherwise took positions was led to a stalemate in the investigation is completely untrue. Clark, I would agree with that. You're adding stuff to the argument. It's nice try, dude. We acted to protect the rights of our members, as is our obligation under the law. Yeah, fine. That last one I will accept. But this whole thing that you are denying all the other stuff, none of that happened. And for you to just throw it in there, it's kind of like the tail that wags the dog, that movie where they're talking about how you get the public to just, you know, forget things. When you want to divert issues, you send the president to hiding and basically says, hey, look, we're talking about this dalliance that happened, but we're not talking about the B-3 bomber. Like, what? Who's talking about the B-3 bomber? I'm not talking about the B-3 bomber. Wait, but you just said the B-3 bomber. I don't know. And it's a really cool scene in, oh, you know what? I'm going to see if I can look it up right now to prove my point. YouTube, Wag the Dog, B3 Bomber. Let me see. Oh, wait. Is it Wag the Dog? No B3 Bomber. Oh, my God. It was like, this is hilarious. Justifying, it's Wag the Dog. Let me see if I can get this to work.
Yeah, well, all right, we stayed on the ground in China at least another day.
Why?
At least. In the press office?
Yes.
Earn your money. He's ill. The plane is sick.
Good. When do we bring him back?
I'm going to need a day, at least a day. He's sick. Get that out right now. get him on the phone and tell the jacket about 6 years. We got to get that out before the story breaks. So Leon Cole responding to it. He's sure there's a bullet and he's got some rare strain. I need a day. I need some running time.
I want him to have a day, Congress.
Yes, it will. You know why? I'll tell you why. Why is the president in China?
Trade relations.
You're goddamn right. And it's got nothing to do with the B-3 bomber.
There is no B-3 bomber.
I just said that. There is no B-3 bomber, and I don't know why these rumors get started. Weber's leaking that stuff to that geek at the Post, let it put. Jeez, I hope this won't screw up the B-3 program. What B-3 program, and why should it screw it up? Well, if the president decides to deploy the B-3 before it's fully tested, yeah, why? Why the crisis?
What crisis?
I'm working on that.
I love that one, guys. It's actually a good movie, but it's a little thick on the political drama and stuff, but it's cool. But it kind of makes my point of what I'm talking about with the Tony Clark did. Like, dude, no one ever accused the union of that. Manfred clearly said they would not let baseball players talk until a deal was done. Fine. There it is. Nothing else. Grow up, Tony Clark. You have a stinky suspicion that the players are going to get screwed yet again in the next contract. And everyone that was there before you, Tony Clark, is rolling in the graves for everything that you've been giving up. But, hey, you were a former player. Good for you. Guys, watch Wag the Dog. It's worth it. It's really cool. Got some big names in there. I keep thinking of Richard Dreyfuss, and he's not in it. But I love it. There's another line in the movie. Kane says, but there isn't a 3B bomber. And Green says, where'd you go to school, kid? Wellesley? And Kane says, Dartmouth. Oh, I love that scene. Then show a little spunk. There is no B-3 bomber. General Scott, the best of your knowledge, is not in Seattle to talk with Boeing. Why is the president in China? Trade relations. You're right. It's got nothing to do with the B-3 bomber. There is no B-3 bomber. I just said that. I don't know why these rumors get started. There isn't a B-3 bomber. Absolutely hilarious. I love it. And some of that is going on right now in Major League Baseball. So I didn't expect to talk about Wag the Dog here on this early in the morning, but hey, what the heck. Let me take another sip. And we're going to go to a promo.
Hi, this is Andrea Gabriel, and I'm keeping abreast of all shenanigans on NBB Media.
As a matter of fact, we're about 28 minutes in. Got to rest the voice. Forgive me. We're going to the number one lady of NBB Media. She's our hero, our heroine, both literally and figuratively. Yeah, just I know. Sister Pauline Teresa is rolling in her grave right now. Good God.
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
We're back. I am the scorekeeper, and you're listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We're about 29 and a half minutes in, and we are joining the real world. As you know, we are the purveyors of the zombie apocalypse. We kill brain cells. Thank you for joining us. There's a lot of stuff going on in Major League Baseball, man. Now, this whole BS that the whistleblower, Mike fears that there are death threats against him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to return to the issue at hand. It's a game. What the hell is going on with these stupid people? A-hole Astro fans? A-hole fans out there? You guys got to get a grip. This is beyond ridiculous. Whistleblower Mike fears says he's received death threats since exposing Astro's sign-stealing scheme. Astros whistleblower Mike Fierce said Thursday he has received death threats since he exposed Houston's 2017 electronic sign stealing scheme, but he's not too worried. Whatever, I don't care. Fierce now with the Oakland Athletics told the San Francisco Chronicle, I've dealt with a lot of death threats before. Really? That's just another thing on my plate. When have you felt death threats? Yankee fans don't threaten. They just do.
fears a former Astros pitcher revealed details of a sign-stealing scandal they employed during the 2017 World Series Championship season in November to The Athletic, which led to an investigation by Major League Baseball. Despite the harsh backlash to spring from players, Beers is not worried about his well-being or think he needs extra security for Major League Baseball. I'm not asking for extra security, Beers told The Athletic on Wednesday. I'm here to play baseball, and I can defend myself, if anything. We do have National League games, and I'm going to have to get in the box to hit just like everybody else. It's part of the game. They decide to throw at me, then they throw at me. There's nothing much you can do about it. Beers isn't the only one who has received threats. Astros outfielder Josh Reddick told ESPN he has received threats by social media, as well as some of his teammates. So the a-holes are being threatened? Ladies and gentlemen, it's, you know, look. Oh, my goodness. I, who am the baseball fan here, you've got to get beyond this. This threat, well, actually, we've been threatened too. Sports Talk with the Guys, believe it or not, now that I think about it, we've received a few threats. But most of them were like, we need to go outside and kick ourselves in the butt. Or we need to take ourselves out behind the tool shed. Granted, it's not along the same lines, but people have threatened harm, anything where we felt that we should alert local authorities or the FBI. Here's the thing. When you do something electronically, there's a digital footprint. And the people that threaten us aren't smart enough to cover up their footprints. Because now I'm talking about a whole issue altogether. It doesn't matter where you come. The IP, folks, it's unique to every computer. And unless you're sophisticated, you really can't do it. They're going to find you. Anyone who calls in, we tell them straight out. And we do have callers in the queue. I did not acknowledge them. I want to thank all of our listeners and those that are calling in right now. You know the drill. If you want us to take your call, just click on the little icon. For anyone else, it's 914-338-0314. And the chat room is open, surprisingly. Right now, I'm losing my train of thought. If you call into the program, we do not take callers from Skype. We do not take callers that the number is unrecognizable. Our staff here records every number that comes in. We do for that very same reason. One way or another, if you buy the phone at 7-Eleven and you discard it after making the call, there's a video of the purchase. It has to be activated. They know where it was sold. They're going to find you. It's ridiculous. Look around you. There are cameras everywhere. If you're going to call in to threaten this program, it's that's how seriously we take the threats. But Mike Fears, what is going on with him? Folks, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. The a-holes broke the rules. They went way above and beyond. Now, the whole thing about Mike Fears breaking the bro code, no. He was warning his team, and it got to the news, and he told what he felt was his side of the story. I was about to say what he felt was the truth. No, he told his side of the story. Good for him. I have absolutely no problem with this. He owned up to it. Major League Baseball was caught with his petitions down, and now we have what we have. Ball has ruined it. What are the fans going to do? Are they going to return to the game? Aha. That's the question at hand. The a-holes were caught, and nothing basically happened to them. The players, what's going to happen? Look, it's the first away game. Are the opposing teams going to throw at the a-holes, or are the fans going to throw at them? I don't. Well, look, I told you I was a pitcher. I've been thrown at, and I've thrown at. They're going to be brushed up and in. Be a man. Take it. Now, if the opposing team is going to go out to try to really hurt them, well, we're going to leave that to baseball to figure out, and the team themselves. Look, they're going to get thrown at more than they expect, but it's going to die down. Unfortunately, this is America. It's going to die down. What's going to happen with Major League Baseball? This issue should have died down already, but for one reason, I apologize. For one reason or another, it's continuing. And I was of the view that the World Series trophy should not have been vacated, but I've been listening to everyone. I hadn't commented about it, at least overtly, at least I don't believe I have, but, you know, hey, purveyors of zombie apocalypse, it's what we do. I don't know if I have, but the reality is I have come around to it, that the trophy should be vacated. Again, I referred to Pete Rose a little while ago. How is it that the general manager and three other managers were fired and not one player? This is not about justice. It's about doing the right thing, ladies and gentlemen, and that's when it comes down to it. If you are American, whether you are visiting or you are a permanent American, it's about doing the right thing. And most people do the right thing. The a-holes did not do the right thing. They didn't even apologize correctly. So, folks, I am not for harming anyone, unless I hate the person.
Just kidding. Megalo.
But the a-holes are going to be, they're going to have a lot of pitches thrown up and in. So they're going to have to take it. But if players against them are out to hurt them, well, that's going to be resolved in the field. And this is going to be brewing for a while. But again, this is America. It's going to go away. It's going to go away fast. Are the fans going to return to the game? That's going to be seen. But speaking of returning to the game, we have him here right now. He is the man, the one who is from up north, North Cali, or Cali, or NorCal, or hell, from San Leandro, California. He is Matthew Alvarez.
Good morning, scorekeeper. Are you okay? It sounds like you're about to lose your voice.
As a matter of fact, I was doing fine, but when I take it up a notch, when I yell, my voice will go in a heartbeat. Good morning, Matthew. How are you, young man?
Good, good.
Let me tell you, Matt. Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
I thought I would come and join you for an hour.
I appreciate that, Matthew. Thank you. Yes, the big dog is still traveling. I think he's recovering.
I've seen all his pictures.
Yeah, it was really nice to see some of them, and I'm sure he's going to have quite a few more, which we'll be able to see when he gets back. But, Matthew, congratulations. It's a little bit premature, but I saw that you were helping it in San Francisco with the executive dress, Matthew. I love the post of the shoes. That was so funny, Matt.
Yeah, and then everybody else running back to Bart in dress shoes. I tried that. I'm like, no, my feet and my back are hurting. I can't run in dress shoes. Everybody else.
Oh, Matt, I was out for you, pal.
I was just like, you know what? I'm letting all these other people. I'm like, just go in front of me. I can't run in dress shoes. The rest of you can.
It was so funny when you wrote that. I was laughing, Matt. It was really good because I've been busy, as you know, and I'm sneaking in views of Facebook, and I'm glad I saw those. I just thought they were funny because I feel you, buddy. I've had to wear dress shoes much and often, and it's just I'm used to it. I do, but for someone who doesn't, yep, I bet it's a hassle. I bet it is a hassle, but that's okay.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Yeah, fair enough, Matt. Sorry, it was a moment of silence there. So how'd it go? Good prospect? You going to be doing it again anytime soon or don't have to anymore?
We'll see.
All right. Well, that's cool. That's good, Matt. Like I say, proud of you, dude. You were doing it. You were huffing the streets of San Francisco. Good stuff. But, Matthew, thank you for joining us early this morning. I've been talking a little bit or railing a little bit about the baseball thing, how it will not die with the a-holes. Manfred this week commented about the World Series trophy being a piece of metal. And Mike Beers, as I mentioned a little while ago, has admitted that he's received death threats. And Riddick of the a-holes also says that the team has received death threats. I'm against all that crap. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. Anyway, guys, when it comes down to it, again, it is a game. It is America's pastime. This death threat stuff has to go.
I was talking, Matthew, very briefly that NDB Media has been threatened. I don't talk about it often, but we have received threats. I was kind of joking about them, about fans telling us, you should take yourself out behind the tool shed and beat yourself up. Because I'm not going to go ahead and dignify them, but we have received death threats. Matt, I don't know if you did when you were doing your program, but did you ever get threatened by anyone? Maybe like you needing a good beating, or if I see you somewhere, I'm going to kick your butt. Did you ever receive any threats like that, Matt?
No, not on my show. That never happened, thank God.
I agree. But, Matt, you're a good person and you're a nice guy. I don't know who would threaten you. Me, on the other hand, good golly, Miss Molly. I have received a few, but, again, I didn't dignify them because I had the email address and I had their IP address and whatever, so I wasn't really overtly concerned. I never reported it to any authorities. Now, NDB Media as a whole has received threats, which I did not consider worth reporting, because, again, we had all the information. Staff was notified as to those that were threatened. I will say that some of those that were threatened are no longer on the air. They chose not to return. So take that for whatever it was or whatever it is. But that's really it. I really think that most of the time they were jokes, but we did take them seriously. And if a host was, they were notified. We let them see the email or the post or whatever. But that was it. That was it. It's, you know, Matt, in today's digital world, you're stupid if you threaten. It's ridiculous. People are stupid, Matt. It's so easy to go after someone now because it's very difficult to post on something without having an identifier, whether it be your phone, your computer, whether it be a public workstation at a computer or even a workstation at your work. You can be found. I even implied that if you buy a phone from a store like 7-Eleven, dude, they got you. They'll figure it out. Anyone who fires off a death threat is stupid, in my opinion. They're going to get you. So go ahead. Keep doing it. Turn it over to the FBI. They'll get you. I'm not really worried about those. But I'm glad, man. I'm glad you never were. I think it's stupid that they're being threatened, Mike Beers. Did you read about that this week, Matt, that Mike Beers said that he had been threatened?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was on Thursday that he admitted to everyone, but he doesn't care. He's like, hey, you know what? I've been threatened before. Wow. A baseball player threatened before? That surprises me, but whatever. issue should go away. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I mean, yeah, it's true. You can't say anything nowadays because of social media and how it just ramps up, and then all of a sudden you turn around and like, oh, we're here for you. Turn around, put your hand behind your back, you're under arrest. We're doing an investigation. And because it's the same thing with all these kids that I talk to once in a while, especially, you know, at different churches, because like one of them at my church, he got busted just like I did when I was in high school, because they went back to school night, him and his mom. And then just like me, all the teachers were talking, and they were like, you know, your son's not doing his homework. She goes, oh, I know. Thank you for letting me know in advance. And he's like, what? And so his mom's like, I'm done with him. Can you talk to him? I'm like, yeah. I was like, what are you doing? I'm not doing my homework. I go, yeah, obviously. I'm like, when I was your age, it was easy, because what I would do is I would go around the house unplugging the phone so my parents wouldn't get notified that, you know, something happened at school. But then, of course, you know, 3 or 4 days later, a letter would come in the mail. I would even try and stuff the mail somewhere else. Because if it said such and such high school. Oh, forget it. But there
Matthew.
Was one night when
we, I never would have
was,
thought.
I know, right? But there was
right.
one night until back to school night. I'm just, you know, trying to be confident, but not really confident. And all my teachers are hovered around my parents, and my friends are like, ooh, you're busted. I was like, shut up. And my parents are like, get over here. And I purposely stood in front of my desk because I knew what was in my desk. My mom's like, so this is why you haven't been coming home with your with homework. We haven't seen any homework your brothers and sisters have, but not you. Like, well, I was doing my homework here. And my dad, I guess my dad had figured it out because the whole time I'm talking to my mom, he looks at my desk and then he goes, move. I go, no, sir, I can't do that. And my dad's like, move now. It's like, shit. Yeah, man. So he goes to the desk and he lifts it up. And because we have one of those open desks, all you have to do is lift it up. He lifts up the desk and all the homework falls out. Tons and tons of papers. My parents are like, you're grounded. Go to the car. We get back home, and my mom doesn't say anything. My dad, she lets my dad go to my room. He goes upstairs to my room, and I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he starts unplugging my PS2 at the time.
Oh.
And he hid it somewhere. And I didn't have it for like 8 weeks or something like that. So I told my friend David, I go, but now it's different because I couldn't go around the house. And if I was your age, I can't go around the house unplugging all the phones. He's like, why? Because now California passed it where now teachers, the school has the authority now. They have the right to text your parents versus sending a letter. I mean, I'm sure they'll still call your parents, but they can text your parents now. That's how your mom knew. That's why she told your teachers, thank you in advance for letting me know something fishy's going on with my son. So he got grounded too back in September for the same thing.
Dude, that is funny. I know about that law because when my daughters were older, I would get calls from school or a text message. And I would always listen to the messages. And do you know what the students would do, the little rat bastards? When mom and dad would fill out those forms, they would change the number. So, you know, so they wouldn't get in trouble. And I would get the call. I'm like, hey, they're not calling for my daughter. I'd call the school right back. And this was from different schools, dude. Like, wow. I would call the school right back, and I would tell them, hey, I just got a call from your school for the parent of such and such. I am not this person. Like, what? I am. This little rat bastard changed the phone number. I would get him in trouble right away. I'm like, nice try, kid. You got caught. Oh, Matt, that was crazy. I never got a call from my daughters. That's why. Matt, I was. My daughters were really, really good girls. They never got in trouble, and a lot of that was due to my wife, just because she was always there with them and taking care of them. So, it was easy for me to go out and work. I knew they were okay. There wasn't going to be a problem. Were they perfect? No, they're kids. But my God, Matt, I consider myself one of the luckiest men in the world because they never got in trouble. So I never got those calls from school for them. I got them from everyone else. God, I loved it. It was funny. But it's all good. All right.
Yeah, well, that other little kid, he sounds like me too. The one that changed the number and then put your phone number on there. I kind of did the same thing where my parents were supposed to sign something. But rather than them doing it, I put my mom's name on there. I tried to write cursive just like she did. And they were kind of curious about it at the time, but since I was in, like, in elementary school in, like, fifth or sixth grade. And they were like, we're looking at all these different files. The signature doesn't match up. And again,
oh,
that's, they figured that out. They're like, ah. So they called my mom and they told her, she goes, why did you forge my name on that paper?
See, had
like,
I been caught,
because.
And why was it? What did you say?
I said, just because I thought it would be better if I signed it versus you signing it. She goes, no, you can't forge somebody's name. That's how you get in bigger trouble.
Yeah. I will tell you that had I had an audience, if I was cornered by the administrators and my mama right there, I would have said, I was just trying to save you time, Mom. Or I would have said, well, I was just trying to practice my cursive writing. It was a high-stress situation, Mom. That's what I would have done. I mean, I'll tell you the truth, Matt. I did forge my mama's signature a few times. Oh, my God. And me, Matt, who never got in trouble, dude. I never got in trouble. I just never did. Obviously, my cursive writing skills were really good. I just never got in trouble. I was fortunate. But did I get creative with their signature? My mother had an awesome little C, which I was able to duplicate, but her S, because it was Celia S. Noriega, and she always filled out Celia S. Noriega. My mother had beautiful writing, so it really wasn't that difficult. A little bit of practice, you just follow the curves. It's very solid, very neat, but her S, oh, my God, I couldn't do her S. It was a capital S, and I just couldn't do it. So I just... You know, I just did my best, and I always got away with it because everything else was so close. I could duplicate my mama's signature. And it was so funny, Matt. This was completely unrelated, forgive me. I've always said, well, you got to think like the person. You got to feel like the person when you're going to do it. So you got to be in the mode. One time, we were, God, I forget where it was. This was like 30 years ago. Someone said, okay, we need this guy's signature, but he's not here. He's cool with it. I knew he was cool with it, but they needed the paperwork. So they said, Raj, we need you. We know your handwriting is really nice. It's closest one to him. We need you to do it. So I'm like, okay, what do I have to sign? And I looked at him like, I'm not signing this. And they're like, dude, you have to sign it. So I was like, okay, all right. Mind you, he was a nice guy, okay, but, you know, Roger the jerk. I'm like, I sit down. And I get the pin. I practice writing the pin a little bit. And then I enter the sensei mode. I enter the god mode. So I had the pin in hand. I looked at the paper. I looked at his signature. And then I did like this. I shook my hands a little bit. And I was like, I did the signature. But I did it in such an odd gesture. People were like, what the hell are you doing? Well, I had to become him for a moment to sign the signature. And some people got mad and others just died laughing because I acted like this, you know, like the guy was an idiot. That was the gesture he did. I was like, he did it. And Matthew, the signature passed. Some people were like, why'd you do that? Well, if you're going to do this, you gotta act like, you've got to be like them. You got to think like them. Did you just call him stupid? Well, no, but I acted like him being stupid.
But at least it got easier because once I got into retail and then they were like, okay, you're in charge of this, you're in charge of that. And so when delivery trucks came, there's nobody in the back room to sign for the delivery. Like, well, I'm 18 now. I can sign for anything. And they didn't have a problem with it. They were like, okay, fine. You know, you're one of the leaders now, so whoever's back here, the Safeway truck can't obviously stay here forever. They can't stay here all day.
Right. They have a window. Oh, my God, Matt, you're so right. It was in my retail days when that happened. There is so much forging in retail. It's not even forging, Matt. It's doing the job, right?
Yeah, you're doing the job.
And, you know, people, yeah. The only one that can really sign for that is, like, the manager. Well, he's not here. Okay. And the guy says, I need a signature. Just hurry up and sign. It's the guy demanding the signature, huh, Matt?
Yep.
Yeah, so I like it. These are good stories, Matt. I appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. Let me see. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We are having a glorious morning here on Sports Talk with the guys. He's Matthew Alvarez. I am Ryer, el scorekeeper, Noriega. I don't know why. It is a glorious morning. Matt, a lot of stuff to talk about, but before we get to that, do you have any particular stories or content that you want to get to right now?
Yeah, you know.
Please.
One person who I knew was doing surprisingly well is Ryan Newman after that crash on Monday night.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, Matt. You know, I haven't seen it, but, him in the video, but I've been following the story. Did you see the accident, Matt? Oh, my God.
I watched Sunday, but then Sunday got cut out because they said it because of the rain, and they were like, well, we're going to have to continue this tomorrow. We're supposed to have sunny weather over here. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then so Monday night comes, and, you know, the race is halfway over. And just like Dale Earnhardt's, it happened again. Only this time his car flipped twice and then landed on its roof. So basically he was upside down, and it starts sliding on the gravel almost in the pit road, and then it starts catching fire. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, God, I don't want to see this. So they're like,
yeah.
You know, they start putting out the fire, and next thing you know, they're like, because they don't know what's going to happen either. Like, we have to take a break. We're going to commercial right now. We'll be right back. Just that subtle. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, you know, Matt, I first heard about it on the radio, and I heard the call. And it really was odd, and I did feel it a little bit. Did get a bit scared just by hearing the call. And then when I saw it, oh, my goodness, and I'm watching it again, oh, my goodness. You know, it like he lost control, went into the sidewall, flipped, and then he got hit, and his car was going for such a long time. Good God. And it looked like cab was on fire. Yep, just as you said, right into pit row, dude. Un-effing believable. And he was in the lead. He was winning, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And somebody else won, so.
Yeah.
While the race had ended, you had two different things going on. You had the winner who was celebrating, but at the same time, nobody could really celebrate because at the same time you've got medics attending to Ryan Newman on the other side. So how do you celebrate a win? You did just win the Daytona 500, but, I mean, like I said, how do you really celebrate when you know on the other side of the track, medics and fire departments, and they're trying to put out the fire from the car, and you just hope that he's okay.
Yeah, it was Danny Hamlin that got hit. The other driver who hit him said he had no place to go. And when you look at the video and he had no place to go.
He really didn't.
If you look at the video again, look at the person that's up in the stands that's in NASCAR, the one that has, like, the flag. Look at it again. That person had no place to go. And there's a moment where it looks like Newman is going to come up and take him out. Oh, my God, I can only imagine.
Yeah, that was
thinking about. Yes. Scene that I thought was absolutely, I mean, I'm sorry. It just, for the moment that it is, ladies and gentlemen, just think of that. Look at the video again. The race is almost over. All the pit crew teams, the closest one, everyone ran. It didn't matter who it was, folks. You know, I saw the video. I did notice the different colored shirts. I was, you know, I was kind of warmed by that, that even though they're competitors, even though they want to see each guy lose and lose bad, when that happened, multiple pit crews ran to the driver because I don't think they knew it was Ryan Newman. Well, they may have known he was in first, but my heart was warmed by that, seeing multiple pit crews running to put out the fire because they were the first ones on scene. It was something to watch. But he walked out, man. He got out.
He walked out, and then they were talking about it after, you know, on a different show, but it was, I mean, on the same channel, you know what I mean? Like a post thing.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we understand now that Ryan is being admitted to a local hospital.
Yes.
And he has first and second degree burns, and I was like, oh, no. And I just kept thinking, what if? But it's crazy because just like me, he was only in the hospital a couple of days. By Wednesday afternoon, everybody's reporting, well, Ryan Newman is up and he's walking out of the hospital. And the Huffington Post posted a picture of him walking out of the hospital with his daughters.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, he's already walking? It's like nothing happened.
It is amazing, Matt, what they can do now. I remember back in 1986, Matthew, I went in. I think I told you guys that story a long time ago, that I was ill. My brother lifted me over his shoulders, you know, and because I was ill. I was at home. No one knew what was going on because I was an active teenager, and I was just I couldn't move. I couldn't move. And the family was like, dude, you've been lying on the couch for hours now. Come on, get up. What's wrong? And I kind of like, you know, my eyes, they said my eyes were glazing over. And I was just like, I had no desire to get up. And my brother says, get up or I'm going to pick you up and pull you over my shoulders. And they could see that I tried to get up, that I just had no desire. And he was like, all right, here we go. And he, you know, very gingerly and gently. My brother is about 6'2", 6'3". I was 5'11". And in high school, I was, you know, a skinny, tall 5'11". And he picked me up over his shoulder, and I was like, oh, it hurt. And then that's when my mom was like, oh, my God, I think it's his appendix. I went to the hospital, or we went to the doctor. Doctor saw us right away, and he's like, we're going to admit him to Monterey Park Hospital. It's his appendix. We're going to send him over so they can find out what's going on. It's his appendix. He kept telling my mom, it's his appendix. But officially, it's like, take him in. I went, and it took a while because the hospital was full, but I eventually had the surgery. They figured out what it was. Had the surgery in the middle of the night. But, Matt, it took me a week to recover from just an appendix surgery. That's crazy. A week. I was in the hospital for a week, Matt. Compared to today.
Yeah, that's crazy. But at the same time,
yeah.
I know about that because in 2007, I remember I posted a thing on Facebook in 2007. I'm like, family emergency. I got to go to San Jose.
Yeah.
Because my sisters were like, something's up with Junior. He's our middle brother. They're like, you got to come to San Jose right now. We're all here. I'm like, what's going on? And they go, they don't know. The doctors are still with him right now. And his wife is all distraught. And so I get there and she goes, he has to have surgery. I go, for what? What in the world would he need surgery for? And he goes, they said that my appendix ruptured. I'm like, oh man, you're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
And wow. Then,
speaking of that,
and then our youngest brother, we video chatted with our youngest brother, and our youngest brother starts making all these jokes that we talked about as kids, and basically making him laugh. And I'm like, will you cut that out? You're not supposed to make him laugh, because every time he laughs, you know, it hurts his appendix, and something else could happen. So I'm like, just not really make him laugh. He needs to rest. So, yeah, he got through that surgery. He was in the hospital for, yeah, like you said, about a week.
My uncle is that uncle. Came to visit me several times in the hospital, and the minute he showed up, I don't think I even had a chance to say, hi, uncle, that he's already telling one-liners. The sick bastard. He's already telling jokes. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing, man? It hurts. It's like, oh, my God. And he didn't stop, and he just did not stop. And I know what he was trying to do, and he was, you know, make people feel better, even though it hurt. Hey, Matt, you know you're alive if it's hurting, right? So that was his theory, and you know, you laugh, and they're the lamest, corniest jokes too. But yeah, I was out for a week. I am so happy that Ryan Newman. I don't know how soon he's going to drive. I cannot imagine what that would be like, man. That is your bread and butter. It's what you do. I know he's been driving for a while, and I know that's not the first crash he's been in. But,
no.
Matt, this one was ugly.
Yeah. But they made a ruling last year where you can no longer do twist turns anymore.
Uh-huh.
I agree, because of Dale Earnhardt's crash, that's the way his happened. When somebody turned and they tried to go, they weren't trying to actually cause a wreck. They were just trying to, you know how when you on the freeway, people just split through all the lanes and they just go in and out of lanes, and then they finally decide, I'm going to stay in this one lane. It's like, oh, you idiot!
Yeah.
Just make up your mind what lane you want to be in. And that's what happened with Dale Earnhardt's race, and that's one of the racers had went around and tried to cut in and out, and after that they were like, no, we need to change the rule and make it safer. And because of that change, I think that's what would save Ryan Newman.
Yeah, I remember something vaguely about that, Matt, so I really can't comment on it right now, but I do remember the Dale Earnhardt crash. I was old enough to remember. It was sad. I wasn't watching that race that day, but I do remember it vividly. It was sad. It was traumatic. And NASCAR changed because, Matt, I'm not sure if you know this, NASCAR was a lot faster and a lot nastier. Just because of the way the sport. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, you do know. NASCAR underwent some amazing changes for the better. Because, you know, Matt, if they didn't, I'm sorry to say, but had Dale Earnhardt not passed away in that accident, Ryan Newman would probably be dead today. Because the same or lack of security would have been in effect. Cars are made differently. The roll cages, the safety procedures, they're quite extensive compared to the way it was before. Due to all the safety, you know, I'll credit the engineers right now. They did good. The man walked out of the hospital 3-4 days after, huh? That is awesome, dude.
Yeah, it is. Very good news. And, you know, and then because Monday, before the race, WWE Sheamus, he was actually like doing an interview segment with Ryan, and then they started making jokes. But then when the race happened, most of WWE's wrestlers were tweeting and because they've had him in a few storylines once in a while. So they're like, well, this is Ryan Newman. We've teamed up with him a few times. He's helped us out. But now we gotta pray for the family, and we gotta be there for him in case something else, you know, crazy happens. But like we talked about, thank God that he made it out, and even though his car was on fire, like you said, the pit team crews, all the pit teams were there first, and they got the fire out, and then they got him out, and then he got sent to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad. He's a good driver. He's a competitive driver. I have no really feelings of the guy. The guy's just a good driver, and he was going to win Daytona, and unfortunately it didn't happen this time. As soon as he can, he's got to get behind the wheel, but duh, I'm only stating the obvious, you know. He's got to do what he has to do to get back into driving. He's too good of a driver. I hope he's behind the wheel, and it'll be fun to see him race again. I'm glad he walked out of the hospital. He's a good driver.
Yeah, and then just like Danica Patrick, who was the first woman to join NASCAR, they also ended up bringing – did you hear about young Haley Deegan? She's awesome. She was in that race too, but, you know, she was kind of racing up with Ryan when the race first started on Monday.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then after the race, after the television show for NASCAR on Monday, you know, I ended up finding some stuff about her on YouTube. She's like, oh, my God, it was scary racing with Ryan. But I had to let him win the first few laps because we were neck and neck. It's different being a NASCAR driver because she's only come up through the independence world. That's the only reason everybody knows her, but now they're going to know her more because now she's a NASCAR driver.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She was like, I feel bad for Ryan, but at the same time, she said, I'm just glad that's not me.
Yeah. Well, I am happy that we're going to have business usual, so it should be real good. I believe they're in Las Vegas this weekend, Matthew, this next race, and I believe it's after that, it's right here in Fontana or Fontucky, just a few miles away from us. Probably about 10, 15 miles from us, we have the AAA Speedway. So, I'm not going to go over to that one, but I will be paying attention to it. Yeah, it is. It's Las Vegas. So, this is cool. They already had one race, the truck race, which was yesterday. Bush brings one home. Good for him. The number one, the 51 car. I didn't know he was from Vegas. Huh, go figure. But, all right. So, very quickly on the upcoming schedule for NASCAR, as I mentioned, the Las Vegas is tomorrow. On the 1st, it's the Auto Club Speedway, Phoenix Raceway on 3/8, Atlanta Motor Speedway on 3/15, Homestead, Miami, back to Florida on March 22nd, and the Texas Motor Speedway is on March 29th. If you do notice the schedule, ladies and gentlemen, it is what they call a spring schedule or a winter schedule, depends on whoever you're talking to. They have most of the races in the south, and then they move up north during the summer. Because if you have, it's kind of like what baseball would do in April. They try to open up in the southern parts or the coastal parts, you know, where it's warmer, so there are fewer rain delays, which is really pretty cool. And right now, NASCAR does the same thing, which Major League Baseball does. But, all right. That's what we have for NASCAR. Matthew, what else do you want to get to?
Well, everybody's been talking about what the CBA is deciding with the NFL to change the playoff structure from 13 weeks to, like, 6 weeks. And they say that this will make playoffs better by shortening it.
Well,
but they only want to include 7 teams from each conference.
I have heard some of that. I do refer to it as scuttlebutt right now because I just think that's what it is. I don't believe the NFL is going to make any changes right now, but how do you make changes? They start talking. And they are indeed talking.
Yeah, because this is just a proposal at this point.
Yeah. You know, right now, the NFL, I know we have vaguely talked about
expansion on the NFL, and I don't know what they're going to be doing anytime soon. They're not going to expand to one team. They're going to expand to two, because the NFL cannot have the NBA did for a while. I don't know if Major League Baseball had an unbalanced schedule. I know they did with the league, but that doesn't matter because – actually, no, I take it back. Right now the leagues are unbalanced. National League has 15. The American League has 15. But when you're playing interleague all the time, it just doesn't matter. The NFL, it would go up to 34 teams. That would make, 17 on each. You can have unbalanced divisions. It's not like they haven't had it before. But I don't know, Matt. I really like the playoff structure for the NFL right now. I really do. But I don't know. Are you looking forward to it? Do you have any ideas about what they should do? I like it the way it is. Seriously. I think the NFL scored. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, I like it too. But at the same time, everybody, all the fans of the world, you and I included, if they move forward with this proposal, because if the format had existed in 2019, it would have looked like this. The Steelers and the Rams would have been playoff teams. The Steelers would have been a wild card game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And the Rams could have played the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. That's what it would have looked like. But other than that, I don't know if shortening the playoffs to 5 weeks only.
Well, let's see.
I don't have a plan either.
Okay. Well, let's see, Matt. It's 17 weeks for the season, which is 16 games. Okay. Then you have the wild card games, which it's how many teams make the playoffs? I think it's three for the divisions. I'm sorry, for each division. So that's actually four and two wild cards. So it's four and two wild cards. Yeah. So the first round is the wild card, and there's a bye for one or two of the teams. And then the second week is where you go from, No, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. You start out with six teams. You play two wild card games. That leaves you four. Third round is two. So it's from six to four to two. And then you have the Pro Bowl, and then you have the Super Bowl. So it's basically 3 weeks. And then the fourth week is a Super Bowl. So they want to increase the playoffs at least by another round. Or they want to shorten it.
They want to shorten it.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The NFL has scored, right, again, pardon the pun, on the playoffs. I'm just really worried about, and sorry for switching gears, but I'm worried about what they're talking about in Major League Baseball. Me no likey what they're thinking of doing. They're talking about more teams qualifying. Well, they're talking about more teams qualifying for the playoffs, but it's a random seeding. Look, you qualify for the playoffs, but who you play is it's like a random draw. So it could be anything. And I don't like any of that. It's like, what's the point of playing the marathon of 162 games? I just, Bud Selig's got to go. You missed my rant early on. Don't worry about it. I said, this guy's got to go. Referring to the World Series trophy, the piece of metal, you got to go. Botching the investigation, you got to go. Dude, you got to go. Scorekeeper for Major League Baseball Commissioner 2020. Anyway, but Manfred's got to go. Yes. So, dude, refer to the trophy, and he said, well, it was a rhetorical point that I was trying to make, and I didn't do a good job. Dude, you refer to the trophy as a piece of metal. There is no way. You're an idiot. For him to say that, it's like when you say the Mariano Riveras of the world, the Mike Beers of the world. Come on, give me a break, you lazy, dumb bastard. You're a law attorney. You're good at negotiations. That's all you're good at. You got to go. Oh, my God. But all right, sorry. Scorekeeper for Major League Baseball Commissioner 2020. Anyway,
So they want you to play, but then you don't know who you're playing against.
Yeah, it's stupid, Matt. Let's see. Major League Baseball, new playoff format. Let's look it up. Okay. Actually, this was on ESPN. Okay, here we go, Matt. Look. If you are their top, oh my God. No, is this it? Yeah, okay. This was on Fox Sports. Major League Baseball is looking to shake up its postseason format beginning in 2022. I don't believe this is done, but get this. Major League Baseball is reportedly planning to change postseason format from 5 to 7 teams per league. Wild card game would go away. All right, that's gone. And thank God, this one game sudden death. No, that's not baseball. That's football. First round would become best of 2 of 3. Top seed in each league gets a bye. Teams with best records would pick their opponents, Matt. Come on. Cut it out. So here it is. Possible Major League Baseball playoff changes. Transition from 10 teams to 14 teams, 7 per league. Team with best record in each league will receive its first round bye, advance to divisional series. 6 remaining teams in each league compete in best of 3 wild card round. Division winner with second best overall record picks opponent from 3 lowest wild card teams. Division winner with third best overall record picks from 2 remaining lowest wild card teams. And best wildcard team faces remaining lowest wildcard team. Wow. Congratulations, Major League Baseball.
Oh, my God. It almost sounds like they've been talking to Roger Goodell, because we had just talked about that a couple minutes ago, where they want to do the same thing, and instead of having 12 teams to advance to the NFL playoffs, now they want 14 teams involved, supposedly, but that would shorten the – oh, my God.
Matt,
that would shorten everything in the NFL. I think
yeah,
they've been talking to each other. It's like they called up Roger Dale. Do you mind if we borrow your idea and what you're proposing? Sure, go ahead. Click.
I believe the fans are just making up stuff right now, because sometimes there's just nothing to talk about. But I do know that Major League Baseball is looking to change the stuff. So I'm not really big on it. Matt, so you can get an idea of this and see it for yourself. I'm going to post it on the Sports Talk with the Guys page. So if you want to see the link, you can see it for yourself. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's dumb. But what do I know? I don't know anything, Matt. But let me see. Here we go. Sports Talk with the Guys. Come on. I just want to post this, man. It's going to be new playoff format? He's stupid. There we go. And there's the link. And it's a Fox Sports article. So if you want to see it, Matt, there you go. Merry Christmas. Huh. It's
great. Yeah, Christmas in February.
Yeah. I love the memes. They went wild with the memes, Matt. It's really funny. And for everyone else listening, guys, go on over to our Facebook page. The author had a sense of humor, a lot of sense of humor. And there are a lot of memes in there, so it's worth it. It's good. It's written by, there's no writer. It's a multiple staff job. Damn it. It's by Fox Sports. Oh, man. I wanted to give someone some love right now. No, it's a staffer. Ah,
Anyway, we'll see. Ugh, it is what it is. But all right, good stuff. Matt, it doesn't matter to me whether I like it or not. It's going to happen whether I want it or not. I don't like the concept, but it doesn't matter. So, whatever. I think it should be a more conventional theme. I don't believe it should be something where they get to pick their opponents. But, this is a video game now, Matt. They're treating it as a video game. Go figure.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, how about the A's play the Giants every year? That would be morbidly stupid. Or like, what if one of the teams down there where you guys are at were like, oh, we want to play the Red Sox every year? They're our favorite opponents, or some stupid crap like that.
Exactly, it is stupid crap like that. Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, don't know if you caught it. Tiger Woods finished last at the Genesis Invitational last year. That's all I got to say about that. What else is there to say? He finished last.
Oh, now you're going to go country on us, huh?
See, it didn't work. Have you been watching the XFL, Matt?
Yes, I have. Very interesting to watch these games.
I'm really liking the extra point, because as I understand, if you go for an extra point, I believe it's 5 yards out. If you want to make it 2, it's like 10 yards out. And if you want to make it 3, it's 15 yards out.
Yeah, that's very interesting the way they do that.
Oh, sorry, Matt. Here we go. I apologize. The new league eliminated kicking options after touchdowns, requiring teams to either go for 1 point from the 2-yard line, 2 points from the 5, or 3 points from the 10. Hey, you know what? That's kind of cool. But they're saying the results have been less than inspiring. Teams are combined 7 for 23 on 1-point attempts. 2-point tries are being converted at 28.5% clip, 4 for 14, with the Houston Roughnecks scoring 2 in their first game. Since the Tampa Bay Vipers cannot be blamed here, they haven't even found the end zone yet.
That's funny.
Yeah, I like that one. In the NFL, teams want to combine 54 for 113 on 2-point attempts, which are tried from the 2-yard line in 2019. Of course, the XFL sought to differentiate itself from the NFL by introducing the 3-point attempt, but the first week of games saw no 3-point tries until 2 were last week. Part of the problem is that teams outside of a game situation like the Dragons faced in week 1 don't have much of a reason to push the ball back to the 10 for an added point or two. Of course, but there's a chance. Oh, my God, I can't believe they even wrote that. Of course, it only is if there's a chance, but whatever. It's one thing to practice certain situations, but there's a whole different dynamic of sorts to attempt a 3-pointer in a real football game, said D.C. Defenders coach Pat Hamilton, whose team attempted the first 3-point try in the league. The next day, the Los Angeles Wildcats converted the first 3-pointer in XFL history. So they actually did do it. But unless the score influences the decision, coaches have little incentive to go for 3 or even 2. Of course! When we're getting close to the playoff run and games are close, it's going to happen. I wouldn't expect teams to try a 3-pointer early on. But that's okay. I do have to catch some games myself. Do you have a favorite team already in the XFL, Matt?
No, I don't. I'm just enjoying these games because they're very interesting. And unlike the NFL, I don't know if you saw last Saturday's XFL game, but they have – I know the NFL has, like, 6 referees. The XFL has, the XFL, they have, like, 7 or 8. You know how you have – you know how in the NFL where they have – one behind quarterback for the other team and another behind the quarterback for the opposite team.
Yeah.
And then they just have the line judge who just stands there. And then the other one who's just ready just in case. But in the XFL, there's 7 or 8 officials because in last Saturday's game, I forgot who was playing, but he did this run, and you could clearly see it even before they showed the replay that he jumped in and he did helmet to helmet, and this referee who's just standing there, who's an extra referee, I guess, throws the flag, and the play gets called dead, and like, yeah, helmet to helmet, that's unnecessary. I was like, wow, they were quick to see that because they have the extra referees. Unlike in the NFL where they stand around for 3 to 5 minutes. Okay, what are we doing here? Who are we penalizing? And they don't even know who they're penalizing. And half the time it's number 76. It kind of reminds me of what happened 2 years ago when the Raiders were playing. And the referee goes, offsides, number 87. And John Gruden is going, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Number 78 is over here. He's sitting down. And they never redisputed that. The referees were like, well, it's too late now. I'm like, why are these NFL referees calling penalties on guys who are on the bench? They're not even on the field. Are they blind?
Yeah.
But in the XFL, it's you have extra pair of eyes, and you can go, okay, well, clearly we can't call that number because he's not on the field. We have to look. They actually look at the replay footage to see who's actually they need to penalize, and they do it accordingly. So it's a lot better, a lot more efficient that way. I better shut up before Roger Goodell gets any more ideas and goes, oh, we're going to use Matt Alvin's idea. Let's put more officials on the field so that way we don't look stupid either.
Well, I don't think they need your help, Matt. They look stupid on their own, but that's okay.
Right.
You're
I can't wait to watch these games. I'll be looking forward to watching today's games and tomorrow's games. Well, except tomorrow I'm going to have to switch between NASCAR and the XFL. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
Oh, that's right. Well, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, talking about that right now, week 3 matchups, Houston is at Tampa Bay. It's today at 2 p.m. Eastern time. You can find that one on ABC. And later on this evening, Dallas is at Seattle. It's going to be at 5 p.m. Eastern time on Fox. Tomorrow's game, New York at St. Louis, it's going to be at 3 p.m. Eastern. And then you have D.C. at L.A. at Fox Sports 1 at 6 p.m. It's going to be at the new stadium here in L.A. Well, not the new stadium per se, but it is right next to the Coliseum. It's where the sports arena, the famous sports arena, is. So the D.C. Defenders take on the L.A. Wildcats on Fox Sports 1. I think I'm going to have to schedule that one myself. I'd like to see that one. I'm going to have a little bit of time. Oh, damn it. You know what? I'm going to have it playing in the background. Now that I think about it, Matt, I'm going to have them playing in the background today while I'm in my office. I brought out one of my TVs. Well, actually, I purchased one. It's over here in the office. I have my Roku out here, and we have cable. So I'm going to be watching some of the games in the background. That's perfect.
But I'm sure for tomorrow, even though Big Dog's on vacation, I'm sure he's going to be watching from New York, and you're both probably going to be cheering for L.A. tomorrow, right?
Well, I'm definitely cheering for L.A.
I knew it.
Yeah. I'm happy that the team is out here, and I just haven't had a chance because of tax season. But you know what? Now knowing the game is a little bit later, at least here for today, I'm gonna have to catch that game. So I will be watching that one. I'll see if I can catch some of the other games because I'll have it playing in the back room. I'll have to show you pictures, or I'll do a video, Matt, so you can see what the office looks like now. It's more open. So.
Oh, you knocked down a few walls and did an open concept.
Well, it is an open concept, Matt, but I didn't have any walls. All we had were the bookcases
and the desk and the hutch, which served as a barrier in the middle. And now I moved them along the back of the garage, and then the bookcases are kind of behind my clients or facing me. So I will show you some pictures there. Maybe I'll just do a video. There it is. Yes, I'll do a video, and I'll post it. You guys can see what the office looks like, brand new now. So, but anyway, it's good. Matt,
yeah, I would like to knock down this bookcase, but I can't because it's in the apartment. I'll do a video on that too. Because I'll show you what it looked like here in my apartment. It's really stupid.
That's good. All right, I look forward to it. How much time do we have, Matt Alvarez, for?
About another 3 minutes.
Well, then I guess we'll just finish up at that point. We will call it early, ladies and gentlemen. I have a lot of work to do myself, but I want to thank Matt for joining me. It is a wonderful morning. We had a lot to talk about, and I look forward to next week. We will catch some XFL stuff, so stay tuned for that, folks. It'll be a lot of fun. And which team are you going for in the XFL, Matt?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm just watching at this point.
I'm sure
as the season goes on, I'll go, ooh, I like that team. That's my new favorite team.
Fair enough. I do like it. Let me see. I don't think I can find the standings. Here we go, standings. Duh. It's only week two. In the XFL East, the Defenders are 2-0. St. Louis is 1-1. The New York Guardians are 1-1, and Tampa Bay Vipers are 0-2. In the XFL West, the Houston Roughnecks are 2-0. The Seattle Dragons are 1-1. The Dallas Renegades are 1-1. What? The LA Wildcats are 0-2. All right, well, we'll have to see. Now, when it comes to touchdowns, the Defenders are +4. St. Louis is +2. The Guardians have given up 3, and they've scored 3. And the Vipers, well, they're -4. The Roughnecks are +3. Dragons are 0. Dallas Renegades are -1. And Dallas is -4. They've scored 4, and they've given up 8. Way to go, LA Wildcats. Ugh. All right, we'll see. That's good. Matt, thank you for joining me this morning. It's always a lot better. Any events coming up? Or it's APW, right? No. Yeah, APW, right?
Yeah.
Did I get it right? Okay, I got it right for once. APW,
yeah, you got it right.
Any event?
Yeah. Not right now. I think they're going to do one. I think their first one is probably the middle of next month, I think.
Ah, March. Yeah, I know. No, not going to happen. It would have to be after April 15th. Actually, out after April 20th. Because then I will definitely be done with the season. But all right. It's all good. Don't want to take more of your time, Matt. I thank you for joining me for as long as you did. Really good stuff. All right. Any parting thoughts, Matt? Take us away, pal.
Well, I guess enjoy the XFL today. And we'll see what happens with Major League Baseball. And with the NFL, we'll see if these proposed changes happen. But I'm not sure. I think if my dad and my grandpa were alive, they would go, what is this crap? I'm not watching this anymore. Which is what a lot of my friends have done. They're like, I don't like the way wrestling is anymore, and nobody watches it. So that's how it is. And we are Sports Talk with the guys. Home on the morning quarterback on Saturday. We'll see you next week. Take care.